Where did the windfall go?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's been a big week for big oil. Oil companies have been turning in their profits from last quarter. Exxon, $10 billion. Shell and BP, $7 billion. ConocoPhillips, $5 billion. We'll get the numbers from Chevron today. Kind of makes you wonder, what happened to all the talk about a windfall tax? Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
Remember last fall when Congress hauled oil executives up to the Hill and grilled them about their record earnings? After a lot of bluster, the idea of a tax on windfall profits kind of faded away. One plan came close a few months ago. It would have raised oil company taxes by changing an arcane accounting rule.
It made it into conference committee, and Senator Bill Frist removed it at the last minute under pressure from the White House and from the oil industry.
That's Tyson Slocum. He directs Public Citizen's Energy Program and supports a windfall tax. He says given this week's eye-popping earnings, the political winds may turn favorable again.
You're looking at a big election this November, and I think that there are a number of lawmakers who are vulnerable on this issue.
The oil industry says higher taxes would discourage domestic production and drive up prices, and the windfall may be short-lived. Some analysts warn that inflation, hostile governments, and inadequate reserves will soon start to erode oil company profits. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A little more selling than buying on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 2 points to 11,100. The Nasdaq dropped 15 to 2054. Oil prices, by the way, just under $75 a barrel. The guy in charge of the Big Dig in Boston said yesterday he's resigning. That project has been one disaster after another. The worst of it came this month. Falling concrete killed a woman. Now two main tunnels to the airport are closed, and that's changing the way people do business. More now from Steve Tripoli.
The U.S. Postal Service is adding an hour of travel time for each of 30 tractor trailers it sends to Logan daily. FedEx is asking customers around the region to drop off overnight packages earlier. Spokesman Mark Giuffre says Boston's traffic snarls have forced a costly choice on United Parcel Service.
So in some cases, what we've been doing over the last weeks is actually flying an early plane in, a smaller jet, and then follow it up with our regularly scheduled jet.
These carriers have to get packages to their hub cities if they're to make next-day deliveries nationwide. They're not the only ones paying. Taxi drivers who often make several airport runs a day have lost their quickest route. Tens of thousands of airline passengers are being forced to leave for their flights extra early. And no one knows when the tunnels of America's most expensive public works project ever will be safe to reopen. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Debbie has been indicted. Well, maybe not Debbie herself, but the people who created Debbie. She was leaving messages on voicemails around the country, pretending to share a hot stock tip from a trader she was dating. The feds have arrested three people in Florida for cooking up the scam. I just can't imagine who fell for that. This is Marketplace. Advertisers on Google have to pay every time someone clicks on their ads. But some of those clicks are phony. Lisa Napoli tells us Google's remedy.
Google offered to pay the $90 million to settle a class action suit for what's known in the industry as click fraud. Fraudulent clicks on ads cost advertisers big bucks, and Google is accused of not doing enough to stop it. A judge in Arkansas said the settlement was fair, even though detractors say it's a puny sum for the super-rich Silicon Valley darling. Danny Sullivan of Search Engine Watch wonders what will happen now.
Really be interesting to see is if they can come up with ways to make the advertisers feel more secure so they don't have yet another click fraud case for activity happening beyond the settlement.
One way to avoid that, Google unveiled a measurement tool this week that lets advertisers see when bad clicks have been sleuthed out. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know, now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Most of the NFL training camps start today. And quite a few of this year's first-round draft picks still haven't signed with their teams. Like the number two draft pick, Reggie Bush, the running back from USC. He was drafted by the New Orleans Saints. Bush and the other holdouts can't join camp until they sign. Joining us, our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Hi, Diana.
Scott, how are you?
Good. Why does this happen every year in the NFL?
It's a dance that has escalated. I mean, if we look back some 10 years ago, it wasn't the vast majority of these guys that from the draft, you know, months go by and there, you know, there's plenty of time to do the negotiating, jockey for position for your money, and get ready for this very crucial month of August when you got to be in 2 days at training camp, get to know that thick playbook. You ever seen the playbook of the NFL?
They are huge.
I mean, they can be 1,000 pages long. And that playbook represents, you know, very detailed, hey, on third down against the Bears, we never do slot SL42. We've got to go to play slot SL34. And if the running back is a little off that page and has run just a couple of yards on a different route, all of a sudden, you're not making the playoffs in the Super Bowl by the end of the year. So they have to learn that playbook. And also to get those two-a-day contact practices and get ready to be in game shape, not just in shape.
Yeah, I would think if you don't get into camp, there's a better chance of you getting injured, right?
Absolutely. Cedric Benson out of the Bears is the greatest example. Last year, number 4 overall pick in the draft, he's with the Bears. He just can't sign. He wants more money. He holds out. He holds out the entire month of August. He misses all the preseason games. He misses all those two-a-day practices. He doesn't have his playbook. He's not studying. He comes in. He doesn't know what the heck's going on, so they demote him to number 2 running back, which he shouldn't have been. And then his body, game shape-wise, wasn't ready, gets injured immediately, is out for 6 weeks with a knee. So even though you think, oh, good, well, they won't be here in August, they'll get rested, we'll just use them come September, it doesn't work that way. They got to get game shape ready.
So with those things being true, why are these guys holding out every year?
You know, there's gotten to be this pecking order, okay? So if you're the number 3 guy this year in the first round, you know that you have to wind up just a little bit behind the number 2 guy from this year in money and just a little bit ahead of the number 4 guy. So you take Reggie Bush. He's probably, you know, the biggest name, you know, in this year's draft, drafted number 2, okay? He's held out because he believes he should have been number 1 and he wants that money that Mario Williams has already signed for. He wants equal or more than that money. He also wants to make sure he's got more money than the number 3, Vince Young, who's going to sign with Tennessee. So they wait, and the agents tell him, wait, we don't want to be embarrassed. We want to get the money we deserve in our pecking order.
So there's no proposal out there right now to fix this?
No proposal. Here we go. The dance continues.
All right, Diana, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Scott.
Diana Nyad is the Marketplace Business of Sports commentator. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
You show up at Parents Weekend.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.